One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Hazel and Mother and Father Barber in the library.
I have a letter to show you, Father.
Huh?
From Pinky. Poor boy, way up there in Oregon.
Never mind that, Fanny. Is the young man working? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. When a headache threatens to ruin an otherwise perfect day, I hope you folks will remember what I've told you about Alka-Seltzer and the really fast, really effective relief it can give from a headache. Yes, just drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, listen to it fizz, then drink it. I know you'll like the pleasant, refreshing taste of Alka-Seltzer, and you certainly will like the way it can relieve the pain and distress of a headache. Alka-Seltzer contains one of the world's most effective pain relievers and works fast because it is in solution when taken. And I want to say this. If you've never tried Alka-Seltzer for headaches, you don't know what you're missing. I mean that. So do try it, won't you? Yes, try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. Remember, you must like Alka-Seltzer, you must be satisfied, or you'll get your money back. Chapter 2, Book 81. As the family goes, so goes Father Barber. And tonight, all goes well, it seems to him, as he sits in the library of the family home in Seacliff, San Francisco. Happily, he is unaware of the undercurrent of unrest in Teddy and Elwood's marriage. No, the brow of the head of the House of Barber is unfurrowed, and he is quite happy with the way things are going. He looks at his wife, Fanny, absorbed in her knitting, and he smiles benignly.
Yes. Fanny, my dear, you look lovely.
Why, Henry, what a nice thing to say. Thank you.
I've been sitting here watching the firelight make little lights and shadows in your hair. Yes. Very comely.
Henry, I don't know when you've been in such good mood. And when you are, you're perfectly charming. Yeah, I feel like a bride. You should try flattery more often.
Oh, I wasn't trying to flatter you. I was simply telling the truth. The front door?
Hello.
Why, it's Hazel. Hazel!
Yes, Mother, I'll be right in.
Yes, you what?
She's coming, Henry, taking off her coat in the hall, probably.
Oh, came over alone. Well, Hazel, my dear.
Hello, Father.
Hazel, dear.
How are you, Mother?
Oh, for heaven's sake. What's the matter?
I put down my coat and left the very thing I brought over to show you.
Yes?
A letter, Father. I left it in my coat pocket. I'll get it. I don't know what I could have been thinking of.
Letter, she says? What letter?
Well, I don't know, Henry. That's what she's going to show us. It must be from Pinky. Poor boy, way up there in Oregon.
The best thing in the world for him, if he'll only stay on the job.
You're talking about Pinky?
I told your father you'll probably have a letter from him.
That's right, Mother. I dropped over because I thought you'd like to hear it.
Sit down, please.
How's he getting along? I'll bet he's homesick. I'm afraid he is a little.
He's working, is he?
Oh, yes, he's hard at it, apparently.
I was just saying to your mother, this will be the best thing in the world for him.
He'll need the letter. Go ahead, Hazel. Well, this is the first I received since he arrived at the lumber mill. It was such a sweet letter he wrote your father on the train on the way up, wasn't it, Henry?
I'm waiting to hear this letter, Fanny.
Dear Mom and Dan, write me right away at the above address.
This?
He's put his address on here, Father. Camp 2, Higby Mills, Oregon. Must be a post office there named after Mr. Higby. Well, Mom, I'm pretty well settled in this camp. It's a tremendous sawmill where they cut up timber. It's miles away from any town, so I'm really out in the wild. It's pouring rain up here tonight, and I'm writing this in my bunk, so if you can't read my writing, it's because I'm all cramped up and I've only got a lantern to see by. They have a few dim electric lights in this bunkhouse, but they have them all turned off, and guys are snoring already. I haven't seen hide nor hair of Mr. Higby since I landed in Oregon, but I hope he turns up soon and gets the boss who's over me straightened out as to just why I was sent up here. When I reported to this dimwit, I told him Mr. Higby sent me up here to learn the lumber business. He said he knew all about it, and what do you suppose he's got me doing? Peeling potatoes.
Poor Pinky.
But I guess Mr. Higby will take care of that as soon as he hears about it, which he will very soon, because I'm writing him full details, and this straw boss isn't going to fare too well in my report either. But I've given up trying to argue with stupidity. The guy in the bunk just across from mine just yelled at me to get this light out, so I'd better close and roll into my blankets. We don't have sheets, and I'm telling you this bunkhouse smells pretty gamey. Makes a fellow appreciate a good bed made up nice the way you used to make mine, Mom. All turned down, ready to get into at night.
You and Dan write to me immediately, please, and tell Hank and Margaret to write, too. Gets pretty lonely here when you got nothing to look forward to but the mail. Give my love to everybody, your son, Pinky. He sounds so homesick.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a postscript for you, Father. P.S. Tell Grandfather I'll be sending him some money on my debt very soon now. And tell Uncle Paul I keep thinking about all the things he said to me just before I left. Love, Pinky. I think he really is trying, don't you?
Why, I think it's a perfectly wonderful letter, Hazel. Of course he's trying.
Yeah. Well, this Mr. Higby knows what he's about. Starting the boy right at the bottom. Let him prove his mettle.
But Pinky said Mr. Higby didn't know he was working in the kitchen.
Oh, I think he knows perfectly well what Pinky's doing, Mother. I think it's just the way he planned it. I wrote Pinky this afternoon. I hope he gets my letter before he writes to Mr. Higby, because I told him I didn't think it was wise to complain just yet.
What was that he said about Paul, that he'd been thinking over some things that Paul had told him?
I don't know what he meant by that. I do know that he had quite a talk with Paul that night he came home. Oh, sit still, Father. I can reach it. Hello? This is Hazel. Oh, hello, Teddy.
Hmm?
Teddy, what? Oh, just a minute. Let me ask Father. Teddy wants to talk to Paul. She said he doesn't answer on his phone. Has he gone out?
Here, let me speak to her. Hello, Teddy. Very well, my dear. And you? Yeah. Huh? Paul isn't home. No, he went out right after dinner. Oh, that's hard to say. He never tells me anything. Shall we leave a note to have him call you? Oh, you'll be leaving in a little while. Are you at the hospital? Yeah? At whose place? Maud Pemberton? I don't believe I have, no. Yeah. Well, you may have mentioned her name, but I don't recall it at the moment.
I'm sure you've heard her mentioned several times, Father Barber. Maud Pemberton. We took nurses' training together. Yes. I'm near at her apartment down near the marina. Uh-huh. Well, I stopped in to see her on my way home from the hospital. Oh, no, it's all right. I just wanted to talk to Paul for a minute, that's all. No, I'm leaving for San Rafael in a little bit. Oh, Elwood's fine. Yes, I will. Good night, Father Barber. Well, that's that, Marty.
You got quite a cross-examination, didn't you?
Didn't I? Well, I suppose there's nothing to do now but hit the road for San Rafael. Back to Grimm again.
What? Grimm?
Mm-hmm. It's a little name I made up for my home. Grimm. Isn't that awful?
You told Elwood how really unhappy you are, Teddy.
Well, not in so many words, but I suppose he must suspect it. You know, I have been trying to cover it up. Oh, Marty, I've tried to love him, really, I have. But I've just about come to the end of my rope. Tell him what I'm going
to
do.
Well, you can't stand him there. There's nothing to do but to leave him. It's only going to get worse, Lanny.
He's so darn sweet and kind. When I say anything that's mean or cutting, he gets such a hurt, sad look. I can't bear it. So I think, well, I'll try again.
Beyond me. Personally, if I ever latch onto a steady, sober individual, he'll think he's in the clutches of an octopus.
Oh, Marty.
Oh, not that I'm blaming you, Teddy, darling. If you don't love this Elwood, you don't. There's nothing anybody can do about it. All I meant was, when you're like me, a little on the plump side and past the angina stage, you're not so particular. You love easier if you get the chance. Maybe that's my trouble. Men see that predatory look in my eye and they get skittish.
They don't know what they're missing, Marty. I think you're wonderful.
Well, I'm going to develop that smoldering, mysterious look and be sullen and standoffish with the next man I meet. Says Marty. Knowing she'll start to mother the first step that gives me half a chance. I guess that's why I became a nurse. Oh, honey, lamb, I'm babbling on here. I'm not helping you out a bit, am I?
You have, though. I feel ever so much better. I always do when I'm around you.
Look, why don't you stay here with me tonight? Might not be good to go back to San Rafael in your present mood. How about it? I'll call Elwood and tell him you're worn out. Won't you?
Oh, I'd better go home, Maud. I won't solve anything by staying here. I won't solve anything by going home either, I suppose. I wonder if there is a solution. Oh, Marty.
There, here. Put your head on my shoulder and cry if you feel like it.
No, I don't want to cry. I've got to grow up. That's what Paul told me when I married Elwood. He said that was the only way to make a marriage a success, and I guess I haven't. I wish I could have seen Paul tonight. I need to see him, Marty. I've been trying to be strong and not run to him. I guess it was good he wasn't home.
Why?
Because if I saw him, I'm afraid I'd just have to break down and be a little girl. I don't want him to see me that way. He'd be disappointed in me. Oh, Morty, I can't stand to have Paul disapprove of me.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Have you tried Bactine? B-A-C-T-I-N-E? Thousands of users are saying,
I couldn't believe that one product could be so good for so many things until I tried Bactine.
And then?
Well, I wouldn't be without the protection Bactine stands ready to give, now that I've discovered so many of its uses.
It is useful, isn't it?
Oh, in so many ways. Why, the children call for Bactine when they cut themselves, because it doesn't sting like other things we've used.
How about athlete's foot?
Well, now that you remind me, I don't believe I've heard my husband say a word about his athlete's foot since he started using Bactine.
Yes, Bactine is truly effective in helping to relieve the itching and combat the infection of athlete's foot.
I like Bactine, too, because we can use it freely without worrying about ugly stains. It has a fresh, clean odor, not at all like that old hospital smell.
And as a disinfectant and sanitizer?
Bactine is great. I use it in the bathroom and in the sick room.
Thank you. Now, friends, wouldn't you like to make your own discovery of Bactine? To help you get acquainted, we make this remarkable double-your-money-back offer. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist, and if you don't agree that it's the finest household antiseptic and general-purpose germicide you've ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Ask for Bactine, B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. Here's the family again.
Well, it's getting late, Morty. I've really got to go. If I stay any longer, Elwood will worry.
I still think it'd be better for you if you spent the night here, Teddy.
No, I'm going home.
Okay, back to Grimm again, hmm?
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest family antiseptic you've ever used, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Teddy comes to spend the night. Chapter 3, Book 81. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.